to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka. And it's always amazing to me that God would give us things to say and to share in the midst of crazy traffic and all that other stuff, which, case in point, that life is not about your external circumstances, but it's about an inner walk and an internal connection and an inner relationship that you and I have with Him. And no matter what your circumstances of life may be, God can meet you, will meet you, if you have a heart for Him and if you seek truth. If you seek the truth, you'll find it. You know, we've talked about that scripture, ask, seek, knock. To ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. You know, in life, whenever something is important to somebody, they go after it. You know, if something is important enough to somebody, they make it a priority. You know, when somebody is overweight, you know, they can stay overweight, but if it's important enough to them, they start making change in their life to start dealing with that. You know, if somebody is in debt, you know, what they end up doing. Now, they can stay in that state, but there comes a point where they say, enough is enough, and I don't want to live in this state anymore. And they start changing the way they live. And they move from somebody living on making minimum payments on credit. And if you didn't know, credit is very expensive. Interest is very expensive. But they shift from living like that to somebody that lives within their means, paying off those debts. And then once they've done that, they continue on and avoid that cycle again and go from the negative into the positive. Go from a state of dependency and weakness to a state of standing on their own feet and not being a slave to anybody. Because scriptures do tell us that the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. There should be a good lesson for every world leader out there, is that when you borrow, you are now a servant to the people that lend. You know, it was a movie I watched a while back that was talking about the arms trade and these bankers that were giving money to these different countries. And the people, they're asking, you know, why are you doing that? You know, what about, do you support these causes? You know, one of the bankers essentially said, look, it's not about controlling the country, it's about controlling the debt. Or it's not about the war, but it was about the debt. And they want to control that debt. See, when you get put into a place where you are in a state of financial debt, you are now in a place where your options are limited. And you now become a servant to the lender. That's why people like to lend, is because they enslave other people that way. And, you know, another buddy of mine, one time he was talking to me, and he said, Govinda, you know the surest way to generate wealth, the surest way to become a wealthy person? Spend less than you earn and do it consistently. That's all it is. Spend less than you earn and do it consistently. But in life and in the world, what people have been taught is, you know, to live outside of their means. You know, the moment that somebody gets a job, they get extended a line of credit. And that line of credit, you know, allows them to buy and purchase things based on their job, and maybe they bought a house and they leverage it off of that. But it allows them to live a lifestyle, and they get hooked on a lifestyle. A lifestyle built on credit, a lifestyle built on borrowing. And they enjoy that lifestyle, they just learn to make the payments. But, you know, that interest that they pay, you know, they eventually never really own anything. And they just live in a state of dependence. Now, you don't have to live like that. You know, but these are tricks that are out there. These are things that are there to design to enslave people. And if you know what it is, see, here's the thing. If you're going to borrow, fine. But just know what you're getting into. If you're going to borrow, do it for a strategic reason. You know, don't do it because you want a new leather jacket. Don't do it because you want something, you want a nice vacation. Look, you know, all that stuff is living beyond your means. Rather, take the time, get some discipline, you know, map things out a bit, and learn to work with what you got. Because part of the secret of life is being content in whatever situation that you're in. And part of the way to be content in whatever situation that you're in is to also know how to work with what you got. Now, God does do the miraculous when we take what we have and we give it over to Him. You know, oftentimes what you find in the scriptures is that God only is concerned with what you got in your hand. And it's whatever it is that you may have, He's able to take that and turn it into something miraculous. So God doesn't focus on what you don't have. God focuses on what you have. So whether it's Moses in the desert with the stick, you know, tending a few sheep, and God says, what's that in your hand? He says, it's a staff. It's a rod. God says, throw it down. The rod turns into a serpent. Moses runs from it. Moses comes back, picks it up. And from that point forward, it was called the staff of God. And God used that to do amazing miracles after it had been submitted to His feet, after it had been thrown down before Him. Elijah and the Shunammite woman, another case in point, he shows up and he says, you know what, well, you know, and she's like, hey, we're just going to, you know, he's just asked, what do you have? And she says, you know, we've got this, just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, you know, we were just going to cook this, make one final meal for ourselves and die. And God says, through Elijah, look, just take what you got, give it over to me, and watch what I do with it. And because she did that out of obedience, God took that which she had and multiplied it and made it last and stretched it and did something incredible with it. You know, time and again, Jesus, the little boy's lunch, the feeding of the 5,000. You know what? They were stuck. They needed food. People had needed to eat. Jesus had compassion on them, and He wanted to feed them. So He said, all right, you guys check among yourselves and see what you have. And what happened? That little boy, he took what he had and willingly gave it over to Jesus. Willingly gave it up. Now, think about that. Now, he, in that situation, you know, he wasn't going to eat. I mean, if you looked at it in his own natural mindset, what he had was for him. He was responsible. He brought his stuff with him. He made sure that he had something to take care of himself. And, you know, he showed up and used all these other people that, you know, they didn't do anything. They didn't think ahead. But he had planned and he had done something. But what God did with that was this kid, he knew there was something more going on than his lunch. He knew there was more going on than his immediate situation. He knew the power of God and he knew what was happening in that place. And he just knew, look, whatever I have, Lord God, it's yours. And I put it before you. And what did God do with that? Well, God took that which was submitted to him and did the miraculous. God takes whatever we submit to Him, and His power flows through that and does more with it than would ever happen if it was just by itself, if it was just on its own. See, anything that's cut off is, or just by itself, is just that. It's just by itself. But anything that is submitted to Him has life flowing through it. That's why when a person's life is turned over to the living God, that the life of God now flows through that life. The life of God now pulses through that life and something changes. Something becomes different. So you know, God is able to take that which would otherwise be commonplace and do something incredible with it. You know, Moses' rod was just a stick, but God took that and made it something incredible. It became a symbol, you know, a symbol of his hand at work. So, you know, God will take whatever we give over to him, and he will then allow for his spirit and his presence to flow through that and to do the miraculous. So whether it is your life, whether it is your resources, whether it is something as simple as, all right, Lord God, I just got my lunch and here, I'll give it over to you, and you can do something with it. You do whatever you want with it. And you may be walking by somebody today, and God may quicken you, and you may have your lunch with you, and God may say, give it over, give it up. You don't know what God is going to do with that, but he's going to take care of you, so you don't have to worry about that. But what he does in those situations is things that you don't know and you can't fathom, but he knows. And all he wants for his people is that his people would follow his direction, to be his body in the earth. You know, a functional body does what the head tells it to do. So when your head speaks to your body and it says, okay, I want you to get up, I want you to stand up, I want you to turn, I want you to go left, I want you to go right, I want you to run. You know, the overt commands, the body obeys. Then the ones that aren't even in the forefront of your mind, but the ones that take place automatically, you know, like your digestion, like your breathing, like your heartbeat. I mean, these are all controlled by the head. And a functional body does those things that it's commanded to do. It does those things that it's commanded to do. And when a body becomes ill-functional, has problems, has issues, that's when it's not following the directions of the head. It's not listening to the instructions. Or something has come in from the outside to make it difficult for it to follow the directions of the head. And messages of pain and discomfort come because the body is trying to warn warn the person that there's these issues. But when the body is functional, it listens to the head. And when the body of Christ is functional in the earth, it is listening to the message coming from the head. So the head will speak and the body will listen, the body will do, the body will respond. But when the body of Christ is not functional, that's because it's not listening to the head. So there's a lot of religious structures in the world that claim the name of Jesus, but they're not listening to him. They're not following him. They're not obeying him. They're not obeying his word. They're not obeying the revealed will. They're not obeying the revealed will of Christ. They're just attempting to go forward in man-made agendas, man-made efforts. And the end result of that is that, you know, it's human. It's all human engagement, human mindset, human efforts, and there's no God in it. You know, the Spirit of the living God, what he'll do is he will quicken you. And he'll quicken you to do some things sometimes that don't really make that much of sense. You know, like, you will take a step without understanding what's going to come up next. That's part of the walk of faith. And, you know, part of the walk of faith is your understanding that, look, it's okay if I don't have everything lined up or figured out. I know that the God that I serve, and I know that he's got it lined up and he's got it figured out. I just need to follow the next thing that he reveals and shows to me. That's sufficient. See, you know, when he reveals and shows something to you, that's enough. You know, just do that. Because, look, life here is short. It really is. Life here is quick. And when everything is wrapped up and when everything's finished up, this life is brought to account. We've talked about that. And rather than spending it trying to, make something work in this world, focus your heart, your mind, your efforts, your endeavors on the kingdom and God's plan and purpose. And in doing that, you'll find freedom. You'll find an abundant life. And you'll also find that God will take care of the things that are close to your heart. Because He also gave us desires. He also gave us ideas. He also gave us things that we long for inside of ourselves. But those things that we long for, that they come from Him. You know, they come from His leading. They come from Him opening those things up. Not from our ability to make something happen. Because see, you know, man creates a career track. Man creates a career path. And the end of that career path is, you know, his own personal agenda, thinking what it would be for him to save his life in the earth. The difference between that and God revealing and showing is that when God reveals and shows, what he does is it may not be the path that you thought for yourself, but it will be the path that will lead to life. It will be the path that will lead to your stretching, your quickening. You know, I know that sometimes we there's things that we think would make us happy, but God knows what'll actually bring peace. And you know, in this life too, sometimes we hold on to things that we don't need to hold on to. I've seen that for myself, where sometimes, you know, that we can end up staying in a situation for too long because, you know, we think that, okay, we just need to kind of make this work. And, yeah, no, sometimes God just says, look, you know, all right, been there, done that, now move on. You know, have you learned your lesson? Do you realize that this is not where it is that you need to be? Because once you realize that, you can move on with what He has for you. Look, success in the world is not necessarily success with Christ. Now, at the same time, because you're successful in the world does not necessarily mean that you're off track either. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Now, I get a little bit put off sometimes with some of the Christian circles because, you know, they go through these different phases where they go, it's either this or that. And so if somebody's successful in the world, then therefore they're now some evil person when it comes to the kingdom. And that's not true. You know, if you look through scripture, you see that God helped some people to be incredible successes when it came to even the eyes of the world. But two things. One, that's the exception. That's not necessarily the rule. And two, that, you know, for those people in their hearts, that they had already they'd overcome the need to be a success in the world. And they basically, whatever it was that God had for them, they would receive it. See, if you've come to that place where whatever it is that God has for you, that's what it is that you're willing to do and the direction you're willing to go, then it's cool, because now whether you have success in the world or not, it doesn't really matter that much, because it's not going to take you into a different track that you need than you want to walk on. But if you do have success in the world, it's fine. It's just a chance for that to be highlighted and a different place where you can be a witness and where others can see what God's doing through you, and cool. But, oftentimes even with that, what I've seen is that God just pulls somebody out. He has them do it for a while, and then He just says, okay, good, you've done that, now let's keep moving. And they're fine with that. You know, they're fine to let go of anything in this world because nothing in this world is more important to them than their walk with Christ. Nothing in this world is more important to them than truth and then having Him. So everything that the world may offer is really nothing. Everything that the world may push and say that this is important, it's not really that big of a priority for a follower of Christ. Because the follower of Christ realizes that everything that the world offers is empty. You know, the devil and all of his promises, first we've established that he's a liar, so you can't really trust a promise made from a liar. So, you know, I don't know why people don't learn that lesson. But, you know, you can't trust a promise made by a liar. You can't trust the enemy of your soul. But people do because they think that they'll get some benefit out of it. And for a window of time in the world, they get a pop. They get lifted up for a moment. But that moment ends and sorrow sets in. And then they have to become part of that next round of deception and hurt of other people in order to keep their position. And in keeping their position, they do a lot of destruction, and then they just go on and go into senility, and their minds start falling apart, and then they die, and everybody fights over their stuff. Yeah, that sounds rather hellish on this side. And then they go on into eternity separate from God. Now, you know, God would have for us to be quickened by His Spirit, for us to understand that there is life to be had and to be walked in this day. You know, you and I can walk in abundant life this day, this very day, this very moment. You know, the walk of faith was not meant to happen 20 years from now. You know, why is it that there are people that say they follow Christ, and yet they're constantly waiting for life to begin? They're constantly waiting for something to happen. And what are you waiting for? You know, He died on the cross that you might have life. That was done. That was finished. From this point forward, now you walk in that abundant life. The resurrection has happened. So why don't you walk in that? Why don't you walk in that resurrection life that you have in Christ? Why don't you live the new life? Why don't you live the abundant life? What are you worried about? Has He not taken care of you? Has He not provided for you? Has He not given you ideas and quickened you and given you godly counsel around you to help you and to support you in this journey? Has He not given you His Word? You know, He gives you His Word. And that Word sets you free. That Word quickens you. That Word shows you that which you need to do this day. You know, because His Word is Logos and Rhema. It's that Word that's ever-present, ever-eternal. And then it's also the Rhema, that Word that you need for the day. It's that written and that spoken Word of God. That the Rhema of God is what God will give you right now for this moment that you need to understand so that you can now walk out the life of faith today. Because God knows that which you need. He knows the application of the Word for your life right now. And this is where that life led by the Spirit really becomes incredible and so important. Because He speaks to you specifically what you need to know for the day so that you can walk in that. So that you can be led by the Spirit, so that you have what you need right now. See, sometimes what happens is people don't have what they need right now. For example, there are books written, right? There are lots and lots of books out there. I mean, what good would a book be for you right now about mainframe computers? it's out there. There are books that have been written about that stuff. There's papers, there's reviews, there's all kinds of things. But it would have been valuable to you if you were in the 80s, early 80s. That's where the world was. That's where things were at. But that knowledge and that information this day, outside of a historical reference, or maybe some understanding or some basic studies, introduction studies, but it's not really that practical for where it is that people are today and what they're doing and what they need to be about. So likewise, you know, where you need the word for today, you need the word for this moment, you need God to speak to you right now and to give you what you need now, not later. You don't need yesterday's word today. You don't need yesterday's manna today. You know, when the children of Israel tried to store that manna for an extra day, outside of when they were storing it for the Sabbath, but if they tried to store it during the week, by the next day it just went rotten. It smelled really bad and was disobedience to what God had spoken to them. Whereas, when they, except for one day of the week, God said, now grab a double portion on that day. It'll last you an extra day, and it did. Miraculous bread, miraculous gift of God from heaven for one purpose, to demonstrate His power and His provision in the lives of the children of Israel. And He did that. You know, He demonstrated, look, daily bread is up to me. I can give you bread in the wilderness. I can rain it down to you from heaven if necessary. I'll take care of you. Principle there, powerful principle there. Daily bread. Daily bread for 40 years God fed them. Daily bread. And you need that daily feeding from Him, from His Word. You need that daily feeding from Him, from His Spirit to speak to you. His Spirit gives you life, grants you peace, grants you strength, shows you the way, shows you what you need at this moment. And instead of recycling old stuff, you need what He's speaking to you now this day. This is also why the Word of God is so powerful, is because the Spirit of God is in there. The Spirit of God is in there, as is many of the documents and things that have been produced by people that were led by Him. There's some incredible spiritual teaching, timeless stuff that God has put out there as well. And with that, you find the Spirit of God in it. And you find the way that it helps and blesses and encourages and enables people that are in a particular area of their life and their walk. God speaks through that which has been turned over to Him. You know, that which has been turned over to the Spirit of the living God has an eternal, lasting characteristic to it. Whereas that which has been separate from Him, it tends to fall apart and rot away very quickly. So, you know, rather than focusing on trying to make everything work in the world and recycling the old stuff and all of that, just allow the Spirit of God to show you this day what it is that He needs for you to know, to do, to walk, and let Him feed you. Let Him feed you by His Spirit that which you need, your daily bread, to quicken and encourage your heart, to quicken you and encourage you in your walk. You know, God loves His people, and He also knows how to take care of His people. He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to encourage you. He knows how to strengthen you. He knows how to lead and direct you. And He will direct your life. For those that have turned their lives over to Him, and that is ultimately, look, brothers, sisters, that's the way you got to do it. The only way to walk through this life is to give over your entire being unto Him and allow for Him to take your being and to make something incredible out of it. You don't want to spend your life trying to make it yourself and not turn your life over to God, and then ask God to try to bless your own endeavors apart from Him. No, don't do that. That's what religion does. You know, religion creates man-made agendas and then tries to put a God label on it, just so that they can have some justification for advancing a selfish and personal agenda. No, you want to actually have His actual will flowing and functioning in your life. Because in His will is peace, in His will is holiness, in His will is His desire, plan, and purpose manifest in you for you to be able to walk out your actual existence that you were intended for. You know, some people don't come into that, sadly. You know, some people, they do windows of time in this life, but they don't ever really have the courage to follow what God has for them. They don't have the courage. You know, instead of having the courage, they have, their own personal agenda, and they never really let go to be able to be set free. You know, it does take courage to follow Christ, because there's a lot of things that you won't know, but what you will know is that you are seeking His will, and that whatever it is that He says is whatever it is that you desire to do. Courage will set you free when it is placed in the hands of the living God. You know, He gives people good courage. He gives people boldness to speak His word and His truth. You know, the Spirit of God, when it flows through you, it gives you courage. It gives you boldness. It gives you a quickening within your being to do that which you could not do in and of yourself. So God wants you to walk in that. God wants you to be free. God wants you to know abundant life, to live it, to manifest it, and to share it with those that are around you, so that they too can be set free. Because, as we said before, ask and seek and knock. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. You know, people look for that when they also see Christ flowing through you, because they realize, in the midst of the darkness that they're living in, they realize that there is light shining in you. And when they see the light of God shining in you and through you, they know that it can be done differently. And that's what spurs them many, many times to act. That's what spurs them many times to say, okay, Lord, okay, God, I know there's something else going on different with this person. And so therefore, you know, I'm asking you, would you please reveal what's going on in this person's life so that I too can enjoy the joy that they live with, the joy that they face, the joy that they embody each and every day that they're in this life. And Lord, would you reveal and show me so that I can partake as well? And God does that, because He witnesses His truth in the lives of others through you. And that's why it's important that you just surrender yourself to His will and allow for His plan and purpose to be made manifest. And in that, you are blessed. In that, you find peace. In that, you are strengthened for the journey at hand and for the walk at hand. And this goes from you just having to slug it out to you getting up in the morning and enjoying the adventure, because you're on an abundant path, abundant life with Christ, walking with Him through this thing each and every day, which is the way that it was intended for it to be and what God's plan is for you. And with that, hey, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Always love to hear from you. And also, you can send us a note on our Facebook page. It's just Faithmix. Look for us on Facebook, one word, and drop a note, say hi, send us a picture. It's cool. Love to hear from you guys. And hey, keep on keeping on. Don't worry about everything. Everything's going to be just fine. And so, hey, we'll catch up with you soon. Talk to you later. Bye.